XS Shafiru Huzu, welcome back to a brand new episode of Sithelo's Lebo and Thata Rampiri. Today is going to be a podcast that I think we're going to be replaying over and over and over. I know everybody at home has been watching one particular show. I won't say the show's name. We'll talk about the characters because, yeah, just for the sake of something coming later. But that show has opened up my mind, has opened up my partner's mind, opened up my brother's mind. And of course, you guys know we are constantly here talking from a male's perspective. So today, we have a guest. We have a doctor, Dr. Della, who's also a fellow podcaster, guys. She's got an amazing podcast called Growing Pains. It is absolutely amazing. It's so nice to see, you know, how she has been tackling life, how she's been growing, and how she's been, you know, moving like this. Ready to protect us. We've got Kulile in the building, baby. Kulile!
Are you excited? Are you excited?
I am excited. I'm a little bit nervous.
Why?
My podcast is like 300 views. That's
why I just
we also used to have 300 and then went down and went to
yeah. Connect. So I'm not used to it yet. I'm not famous. So
But yeah, we're really excited to have you here. I think you guys have seen at home, we've really been trying to integrate women into this conversation as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because we read your guys' comments and we can see sometimes we are speaking from our a man's perspective.
Oh, oops. Yeah man's perspective.
All levels bum cheeks. Yeah. And today's gonna be dope. So we watched something this week, like I told you guys, and it changed how we think, how I think about men and how Levo's been thinking about men. We realized that men have been taught how to like provide and go fetch your life. But do we know how to love? Do we know how to, experience somebody's pain and not make it about ourselves?
Yeah.
Do we know how to remove ourselves from a situation and focus on the person that we're hurting? I think we're really struggling with that. And because obviously this is seated, we're going to speak about how a man should be behaving within a relationship, within the workplace, and of course, within just like society.
Yeah.
I think we need to unpack the conversation because all we know as men really is to provide, one, and to love the way we think should be loved. I'm talking about loving our friends, society. So we don't really know like the intricacies, like how should it actually look?
Yeah.
And I think...
What does a husband look at work? What does a husband look like when he's away from his partner?
What does
a boyfriend look like when he's away from his partner?
Yeah.
How should he behave? All that stuff. Yeah, I'm hearing.
And I realized the reason why we don't know is because we don't ask. So today... Dr. Della, we're asking you to please assist.
I have a lot to say, so thank you for asking.
Okay.
I think I agree with you when you say that there are so many parts of men that are missing. And I think this whole chat of the boy child being left behind, number one, men's mental health not being seen or understood, etc. Right now, you guys are faced with a world where women are starting to not depend on you for money.
Yeah.
Right? And now suddenly you have to bring something to the table other than
character.
Wow, who knew?
Oops.
Who knew you guys needed to have good character and manners and treat women well? And who knew you guys needed to develop empathy, have faith? Who knew you guys need to learn how to be faithful?
So real.
By the way, no, I have not disagreed with you yet.
And I'm so excited because...
Yet.
I'm excited because gender roles that we know today as young men are based off of a world which existed back then when women relied on men heavily for money.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool.
It's the generational curse of it.
Yeah. So now it's like, how do we now adapt our gender roles in a way that allows for this new society? I mean, we've got women in power who are doctors who don't need a title to do anything anymore. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But everybody wants to be held.
Yes.
So how do we balance that?
Everybody wants to be warm. Everybody wants to be held.
Yeah. So let's get into our favorite segment on the podcast, which is
how are you? But before we do that, today is a bit different. Seated has partnered up with Yogeta to indulge a moment like no other. Of course, guys.
Can I offer you a stock suite?
In your 20s, please, guys, take this. In your 20s, you're in a run club. You're in a high club. You're running. You're on a diet with a juice that you can't pronounce. It's always so hectic. So we want to take this moment in our podcast for the next couple of episodes for you guys to say your biggest wins while we indulge your moments with your getter. We have a couple from our How Are You?
Yeah. I'm gonna save mine for after the podcast.
Okay.
But also, before Levo goes any further, guys.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, guys, you guys know us.
Yeah.
Arambiri, but we never do anything without giving you guys something nice. So if you guys are participating in these How We Use, we've got an amazing hamper for you. We will be unboxing it in episode in the the not next episode, but the one afterwards. Yes, because we're doing this for the next 4 to 5 episodes. Yeah. So got a hamper for you guys. So if you guys do what you guys have been doing, but now it's all about obviously coming through with the positivity, we can send you guys a hamper. And it's really exciting. We already have, you know, our insiders, people that are part of our group on Instagram, which is called Communities.
Yeah, the community.
The communities, right? So some of you guys have already sent your how are yous. So we're going to read one of them, and this is Vela, our first winner. You've already won.
But I want to, before we read the winner, how are you guys doing, man? What is, please tell me some of the wins, because we don't have a kind of...
Oh, let's start with wins.
Yeah,
okay.
Before we get into the deep, gritty, nasty parts of being a man, what's winning in your life right now?
Okay, I'm graduating soon.
Oh, halala! Halala!
I'm so excited. I'm graduating soon for a diploma that I completed last year.
Damn. Education and you, bam.
Do you already have the Pinterest board of the rest of what you're going
not
to
do? Not yet, actually. What? But it's because I'm writing more exams now.
Okay.
I'm fighting for my life.
Huge congratulations. What? One, okay. And then your biggest win of this week? Do you have a win of this week?
I think being here today is this win.
Waking up in the morning.
Yeah, being here today. I think this week really threw me off. This past 2 months have thrown me off.
Yeah.
And one day I was speaking to you. I like talking about the things that have really thrown me off once I've
digested them and...
And like overcome them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think I'm going to be sharing some really crazy testimonies with you guys like in the months to come. But for now, just the fact that I'm still showing up and trusting the process, that is a huge win for me. Like trusting in the team, trusting everyone. This thing was so delicious. Damn.
Yeah.
It really is. Mm.
I was going to say, okay, my biggest win, I showed up for a friend this week on his birthday. I know that's not a big win.
Why is that not a big win?
For me, it is a big win because I am always, and I mean like always busy with work.
Yeah.
Even yesterday, I got an opportunity to come be a radio host on radio.
Mm.
And I said no to be with my friend.
Mm.
And a part of me was like, no, because I never show up for my friends. Every time something happens with my friends, there's always a business opportunity that I take.
Mm.
Then seeing my friends.
I see.
So this
was
the very, very first time ever, like ever,
yeah,
that I picked my friends over business, which was like...
I'm sure they felt very important in that moment.
Yeah. I didn't even want to tell them about it because I was just like, let's just live in like the moment that we're just happy.
Yeah.
Because it's
just... But I'm sure you appreciate it.
Yeah. Definitely. Because... It's a huge opportunity. I could be saying good morning, South Africa. Good morning,
again.
South Africa.
It'll come again.
Yeah, it'll come again. But
before you read, got three. You have to choose a winner there.
Yeah. Okay, let me pick then. The winner is... Currently... No, I'm just joking. It's Siba. That's the winner. Well done. Their golden moment that we're going to indulge with for this moment is currently tucked in bed, working remotely.
Mm.
So only have to wake up for meetings and then go back to sleep. I think that's
Saba
a big win.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
I think that's a big win.
You know, my dream is to live in Thailand and be a digital nomad.
What?
Mm. Wow. Mm. Why Thailand specifically?
Just because it's like just of the like the environment, like you know, it's like very tree, like jungly green. They're eating from the ground still there, like fresh fruits, like beautiful cuts of meat. The like it's also quality of living is quite affordable.
Yeah,
and it's just beautiful. So there's so many things to explore, and I also like to, I think South Africa is significantly beautifuler. I think South Africa is more beautiful, right?
It's gorgeous.
But I do have this like fantasy. Let me say this dream. To live in an environment where, like, I am a like foreigner,
I
am learning a new culture,
immersing
myself into the culture, and just becoming and learning things that I didn't know before.
We'll be shooting seated in Thailand soon, guys. Let's get into the podcast. Yeah.
All right. So the show that we've all been watching, I keep calling it Jonas. It's not Jonas. It's really not Jonas.
Sonke, we're calling it Jonas.
It's called The Polygamist.
Yes.
Yeah, SA's biggest show right now.
Mm.
Honestly, they did amazing. I think first, let's shout out the actors and actresses in the show. They did amazing.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite actress? Actress?
Or character, maybe say character.
Stumo, because we remember him, Stumo Mjali, Jonas.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember him from Class Act when he was like still auditioning to try and be an actor. I remember watching that show and him, like his journey into being an actor. So every time I see him on my screen now, I'm just like,
For you, like that was your like most powerful character in the show. Like you're like, he's acting for his bag, like in the show.
No.
Like, who's your, like, wow, the best performance?
I can guess.
Joyce.
Joyce, okay.
Joyce for me.
I can guess yours.
Who is this? What do you think?
Matipa. Matipa.
Mm. Matipa ate, though.
She ate.
She ate.
They all did amazing, so it's not even think of, like,
I don't even think I could say who was the...
I know who my favorite actress was. It's the girl, the last girlfriend. One that's like 20.
Lindani.
I think she portrayed it really well.
I think I feel like in the beginning she was literally playing a side character so well. And she was a side character, and then she became a main character for a couple of episodes. And then her ability to act in different, because some people can just act sad.
Yeah.
Some people can just act happy.
She was the range.
Yeah, her range was insane. Like 10 out of 10 for me.
I actually think, like, my unpopular one, maybe Sarah. I think Sarah was a great. I mean, like, I looked at
Sarah,
like, the daughter.
Sarah made me
Essie.
So uncomfortable the entire
the
time.
Essie.
Yeah.
Oh,
because I like to say who's the hardest, which is the hardest thing to act as.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can act as a dick, guys. I can act as a dick. I can act hurt. I think hurt is also, but to act hidden.
To act like a troubled child.
Yes, and troubled. To act like everything is normal for the first six episodes is... She fooled me.
Yeah.
She fooled all of us. There was no one... I don't think there's anyone who was like, no, that guy's... This lady is... This person's child.
But we started seeing it when she was like, I need to be known or shown by my real dad.
Yeah.
And Mam Khonyane. And I was like, and who's like, your real dad?
But for context for people back home, The Polygamist is a show about a man who cheats on his wife, but we slowly see that it's more than cheating. It is his nature, hence The Polygamist,
He has the spirit of Jezebel in him.
Yeah, so we see his life through his partners and the struggles of a polygamous character within families and the effects of it and how that fungus goes outwards from the person into their family, the roots and comparison and etc. So that's basically the plot of the story if you haven't watched it.
Yeah, and then I know for me, one thing on this show that really, like, the cinema, beautiful, amazing.
Shot at Deloitte, shot at, I mean, 15
stunning,
locations.
Stunning. But one thing that I loved the most was seeing how the polygamist, Jonas's son, like, he's acting, I wasn't a fan of his character. Yeah. I think his acting was great. I wasn't a fan of his character. Yeah. But the way he was so sweet, and then he gets panic attacks.
Yeah.
And then he becomes this vile person who tries to fix himself.
He becomes his father, basically.
Yeah.
He becomes his father. Really shows you the effects of one person on generation. Yeah. So imagine how everyone has their issues. Because I've seen uncles and family members give their children anxiety, depression because of their behaviors.
Yeah.
So now the fact that they even portrayed dad went that far, for me, that was beautiful.
Dude. Yeah.
Even Bume, when she was standing there with trying to tell her dad, I feel like this. I was like, Abazali.
Yeah,
and he just put the volume on and said, "Leave the letter here, girl."
That was so relatable.
Yeah.
I've sent my dad an email before.
I've literally written a letter before. What do I eat? Bullshit.
I've spoken to them, but I've never written an email. But it was very relatable, him ignoring it and etc. But I love the whole concept of this is episode one. This is South Africa's perfect man. He's a CEO of a business, rich, beautiful family, has it all. You know, he's wearing the suits. His wife is also dolled up. You know, we have this saying that it's better to cry in a G-Wagon than it is to cry in a Toyota, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So after seeing that, is it still better? Is that still the life? You know what I mean? But so that's kind of the question that was constantly playing in my mind. I'm like, damn, this is so great that they're showing us that they have it all, but they don't have that father, they don't have the husband. And that's what's the issue.
Yeah.
Because they have the house. Guys, those houses were beautiful.
Yeah, yo, that guy had so nice as mine.
Those houses
has a lot of money. He just surprises people with random things.
Yeah, double story houses. He had property.
Yeah.
And if I was dating a Jonas and he said he has a 2-bedroom house, Morningside.
It's enough.
Linda, give him off the twins. Linda, I might give him twins. Think about it, Morningside.
I'm sorry.
With a pool outside. I'm just saying, that's the mindset in the beginning, but then it slowly goes, no, this is very dangerous. But anyways.
I like the way the show started because what's important, I agree with you that they showed this perfect life,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But they also kind of framed it as if Matipa is the root of his problems, yes, right? Which is what wow. your niggas like to do, wow. right? Wow. It's to say that it's the woman, that she was so tempted, yes. that she was so this.
Side chick was always
and
the
so
issue.
We see how yeah. sinister yeah. your character actually yeah. is and yeah. how selfish it is,
yeah.
the choices that men make
yeah.
and how they affect everybody around them. Like, I loved how they started it as...
surreal.
Matipa was so evil.
Yeah, it's like the women are fighting each
like
other.
Like when she, that scene when she's opening her dress and she's like,
yeah, I'll be like,
nice ow. Family. I said, girl.
That's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, Matipa.
Yeah. What's happening here? Also, it's Matipa, but it's Jonas.
What a
yeah.
divided reaction from South Africa. I mean, I've seen guys like be like, Jonas, the GOAT. Like, what? Is that your lesson from all of this? That like a person who... accumulates power, wealth, and then has... Because on Twitter, they said, I would have taken the pills and survived if I was Jonas. I
yes, yes, yeah.
And life would have went on. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So we got kind of an unrealistic ending in the fact that he died. Because yeah. in real life, South Africa, that guy would have taken pills and continued
and
to fare.
But, yeah. but would he...
You know what I'm saying,
no, but,
though?
No, but would he have...
Yes.
Would he have, though?
Yes.
What, taken the medication?
Yes.
I mean, it depends what, culturally where he's from, right? Yeah. And how he feels about the stigma. Yeah. Because honestly, Lebu... in my profession,
yeah.
people are still dying in hospitals because they refuse to take the medication. So they are really in denial and they really are like, Sana, I'm not going to take this medication. Yeah. I can't believe this person gave me HIV. I can't believe I have HIV. And Sana, we get it. It's traumatic. Like, mkambi, they cheated on you. Whatever happened, like, so many things happen. But like, take the medication.
Yeah.
But actually, people really do. Yeah. My friend was actually telling me about a colleague of hers who's a doctor as well, who actually died from AIDS because yeah. she refused to take medication. And I was like, a doctor?
A doctor.
In which universe? She said, no, she was just refusing to accept her diagnosis and therefore she died.
Yeah.
And so it actually happens. I think that as much as we think that Jonas would have taken the medication,
yeah.
people are very proud, number one. And the stigma around HIV isn't as gone as we think
as
it
we
is.
As we think yeah. it is.
Yeah. It's also, better, yeah. but it's definitely not as gone.
Also, like, imagine him. He's literally a man that has so much power where he doesn't have to listen to anybody.
Yeah. Now he's a godlike figure.
He's a godlike figure.
Yeah.
Now he's got this disease which is taking control from him. So him not taking the pills is him maintaining his character of keeping control.
Power, yeah.
Keeping the power.
And not letting it out.
Yeah. I won't subdue myself to anything. I won't submit to anything.
Guys, that was peak South African, right?
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Oh, it's based on a book written by a Nigerian writer, excuse me. But
Zimbabwean.
It was Zimbabwean, sorry. It's a Zimbabwean writer. But the overall, like, thing was just so amazing.
I really
like,
enjoyed it.
For like even a the show dropped in South Africa, like I was like, this is good production for a show dropping in South Africa.
But you know why I think this it got the response that it got?
Yeah.
Is because of Jonas Sema's song.
Yeah,
yes,
we all
Sema's song.
Yeah.
We know Jonas in real life.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Relate, it actually yeah. wasn't. A lot of people were saying it's a documentary and not actually. And Nyani, guys. Nyan, it is. I mean, all the different sides of Jonas, we actually have seen those different sides in our real lives. Yeah. We've seen this in our fathers, we've seen it in our uncles, we've seen it in our friends, cousins.
Yeah.
Nani, actually, because...
You're spitting.
You guys have been on this podcast talking about how, you know, I was young and
did
some stupid things. Jonas.
Literally.
We've experienced Jonas in real life. Yeah. And like, we're sitting with Jonas every day.
He was like the most scaled version of it. But
Jonas was doing a lot.
In our daily, like men's lives. Like men's lives, there's a lot of men who have like multiple partners, multiple... relationships. So, actually, this must be a sign to go test. Everybody must just go test the essay.
And what you were saying about people saying that Jonas is the GOAT.
Yes.
And, he's done so amazing.
I was like, what?
Can I tell you what I think that indicates?
What does it indicate?
That indicates, that's telling us how much you guys don't value women as people, right? And how you actually, like... For you to watch that show and not be able to empathize with any of the women,
and be like,
you have an empathy problem, right?
Yeah, true.
You are selfish. That's all you are. Like, literally, all you're seeing is bums and money, and you're thinking,
wow,
that's the life. That's what I want.
Yeah.
And you're missing the suffering Joyce went through, the suffering the kids went through.
Dude,
you're missing the suffering.
Like him being a father, a partner,
the physical, a brother,
just being respectful. Just being respectful.
Really, he was a terrible human being, right?
Apologetic person.
And for you guys, for you to be able to to think that that's an amazing thing. Mm. Let us know that you don't know how to empathize with a woman's experience, right? Yeah. You dehumanize women to that extent.
But it's which is so sad because it's like, yo, it's so sad. But my question is, where do you guys think it stems from? Like, growing up, the things that young boys are like exposed to. Do you think it's us being exposed to valuable journalism like around us? Or like, do you think it's more of like the things we consume, like the movies that we watch? Maybe it's maybe the movies we watch don't allow for us to have and see empathy. I don't know. Like, I'm not saying that's the reason. I'm just trying to give you guys some little seeds to see what you guys think.
Sure, I don't know, hey.
Question. So the contributors to behavior.
Because obviously, of course, there's no one contributor. Like everything that we go through every single day contributes to what we are.
May I say something? I feel like, again, for context, people who haven't watched the show, so towards the end of the show, he ends up with a 20-year-old girl who's doing...
She's probably 22, 20. Yeah, maybe 20.
Maybe 18, 19.
No,
She was still in the trig. Yes. And but you were graduating. But they were, that's why you were going to Stellenbosch.
Oh, I didn't...
I
haven't finished it, guys.
Oh, okay.
It's fine though. Like I've got, I'm on episode 16. No, 18.
Oh, then you do have context.
19.
Yeah, you do have...
So anyways, he ends up with this like... younger woman who does
who's also like been in his house since she was 8.
Yes.
Literally.
With his daughter since
literally.
She was 8.
Yes.
He ends up with this like younger woman. And like, sorry, what I'm trying to say is that like, so this guy starts off as a guy who's just a regular guy. And every guy in South Africa is told to do what? Accumulate money and power. That's a fact. Okay. Especially black men. For what? Your household, to provide for the families that you're going to build, etc. Right?
The families you're going to build.
Sure. So base level, that's the education that a child gets, right? Mm. So I'm seeing it in Jonas. So Jonas falls in love the first time, which is like his OG babe. You feel me? Mm. The babe that knows him in his poverty. The babe that knows him in his likeness.
Gave him money to go to school, I think. Right?
The one that, yes. So he has an OG love, which I think every man kind of has. The woman that loved him for him in high school, primary. Yeah. The reason he's so evil or whatever, usually is because this person cheated on him and that's why he's a bad person now. Anyways. Not the point. But again, trying to accumulate money, power, you know what I mean? Going up. So he finally finds a woman who stops talking back to him. And what's funny was it was the youngest one. So it's like men in South Africa have this idea that like when you finally get this wealth and etc., you can date whoever you want, but you can also date someone younger to control them so they don't fight you back. Because that was the issue with his wife. They were all fighting back.
Yeah, because Matipa giving resistance.
And Jonas specifically said,
Yes. So now I'm saying in African culture, every man is kind of raised to have an obedient wife.
Mm.
I get it, guys. I'm just putting it.
We grow up seeing our aunts and uncles being obedient.
Yes, and the less obedient they are, the more wild they're perceived as.
There was even a study that was made and they're asking men, like, what's one thing that you need from your partner? And the number one thing was actually respect.
You see?
And respect obviously correlates to like obedience.
It's just a perception thing.
Yes.
Right? How you perceive respect. And sometimes you feel like a woman being vocal is no longer respected.
I love that you said that because that's so real. Because we think that we want respect, but we don't understand what respect actually means.
Yes.
Right? Because what I'm trying to say I want is for you to shut the fuck up sometimes.
Yeah.
And to let me speak and then when my word is final.
Yeah.
That's what guys mean when they answer that thing, which is wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's for me, that's where this all like
stems from.
Kind of stems from culture, the education of a man, and also... And I hate to do this, but like, mothers in South Africa have a high pain threshold. They grow through a lot in their houses.
Mm.
And we as young men are living in these houses. We see women consume this high pain threshold. And we're like, okay, cool. My partner must also have high pain. So I can also speak rough. Yeah. I can also cheat. I can also, whatever was happening kind of in your house.
Yeah.
But I want to actually ask you, do you think women, because I mentioned how mothers may contribute, do you think any other way that women may contribute to it or how other things than men maybe? Basically the answer
I think, question, yeah. I think the biggest thing, I think we're enablers.
Yeah.
Right? I think women are enablers of men's poor behavior. Mm. And I think that we've created a society where there's no consequences for your behavior.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so because we've created that sort of society, you get to live like that.
Yeah.
Also, in our homes, like we kind of perpetuate the culture and the traditions. Like we, for example, I know as a girl child, I'm treated very differently from a boy child.
Yeah.
When we're raised to be responsible for a whole lot of things, to take responsibility for our lives, take care of ourselves and the people around us.
Yeah.
You guys are raised to just live.
Yeah, so real. Right? Yeah.
Just take up space. Nobody's really worried about what you're doing. You're not worried about cleaning up after yourself. You're not worried about taking responsibility for yourself. And so I think that we are enablers of the behavior, but also we've learned this behavior, right? This is a generational thing.
Yeah.
And so because we keep allowing these things, they keep happening.
Yeah.
I think that cheaters or... I want to buy bio, etc. Like, I really
redefines cheating in a way that makes it
because no, I really think cheating makes it sound so like innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
Like, whoa, buffet, I really think buffet pay is a big problem.
It's heavier.
In
it's heavier.
Our society, it's really. And I think that the reason why it's allowed and normalized is because we have allowed it, right? Mm-hmm. And we continue to allow it. There's no consequence for someone cheating. Or very little. Like, you're going to shout at me, but like, you guys are going to come buy flowers, roses. Now, I am recently divorced. And one of the biggest, I left, and part of why I left was because of infidelity. And everyone was like, was it the first time? That was the question. One of the most common questions I got.
So you were like, what?
And I was like, what do you mean? Was it the first time? It only needed to be one time, right? And they're like, no, but everybody... All men cheat.
Yeah.
Problem number one.
Enablers.
Do you understand?
Enabling now.
We are all now feeding into you guys, like feeding into your behavior. And we're saying, okay, we have to buy into it. We don't have a choice. And I'm like, no, I'm opting out, Sana. And people are like, no, but what's going to happen now if every man that you marry cheats on you? Are you going to leave every time? Yes.
Yeah.
That is the answer. That is the answer.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason why is because there must be a consequence, guys.
Yeah.
There must be something that you must pay. Like, there's no way.
So do you think it's crazy, like, the older the person that gives you advice about relationship, the more the advice is built in resilience. It's not built in your self-love. It's built in how to make your relationship survive, like... Not, are you okay? Is they okay? It's that.
How did they make you feel?
I mean, you see this from Joyce's mom, right? Yeah. Joyce's mom, she was advising Joyce, and she was just like, yeah, you know, like, this is part of building a home. Yeah. Like, don't let this woman take your man away from you.
Yeah.
And can you see how she's removing the responsibility from Jonas?
Yes.
Putting it on Matipa, right? We're saying the person to blame here is the person that Jonas is cheating with.
Yeah.
Jonas is the one who said vows to you, Joyce.
Yeah.
My babe.
Yeah.
She's the one who owes you anything. Matipa owes you nothing. She doesn't even know
you. Doesn't matter if you're wearing a tracksuit.
I think that's the issue, those things with tracksuits.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter.
Which is crazy because it's like your mother of your three kids. She just given
birth, guys. She had literally just given birth, and motherhood is so hard.
Yeah.
And she's not being given grace. Like, she's not being allowed to be human. She must be a Barbie doll the entire time, right? And she must be hot, whatever hot looks like. She must be like this person who, you know, I don't know, like, who dresses up, who's sexy for her husband.
A trophy wife all the time.
She must always be on, And it's, I mean, I'm just like, this expectation is ridiculous. But it's also because everything is always blamed on women. Yeah. Like, a man's behavior is never his fault. And I'm like, hey, man.
Which is bad. And I feel like the enablers, we downplay, like, the power of the tongue with these enablers as well. Because now Joyce's mom is telling her these things. Now Joyce obviously was maybe at that point where she's like, no, man, this is too much. Like, I have to leave the situation.
Yeah.
But her mom goes, no, you have to hold on. Like, those words are so powerful because now who's telling you? A mother figure.
Yeah.
So now you're going to act on those words and then endure the pain even more.
Yeah.
So I think us as the new generation or this next generation, I think the way we raise our kids is going to be very, very important. Mm-hmm. But also, like, teaching our kids how to, like, push away certain, like, words is going to be even more important. For example, it's like, I must be able to say to my kid, hey, listen, I know sometimes, and this shouldn't even exist, like, I know sometimes I've got this friend, Jojo, around, but when he speaks, please don't take him seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain people in life that you can't take too seriously. But now, how do you teach your kid the discernment of who to take seriously and who to not take seriously?
Yeah.
Why are you hanging around with people you don't want
That's why I said this would never happen first, Elliot. Yeah, I was like, this would never happen.
Nice disclaimer, by the way.
I missed that actually because I was like, hey, why are you hanging around with weird people?
That's you up.
Yeah, but I think that's what it boils down to, because we
this, like, our tongues are so powerful, guys.
But can I say something? Like, because now I'm flipping it, right? Yeah. So, like, today's new age women, I feel like, are fighting this whole process that we're talking about on a heavier note, which is why the final Gen Z baddie made it out alive. Okay.
Yeah.
She made it out alive because she knew. No. I'm a 2000.
They're not here to pay.
They saw all of our previous mistakes.
She was even smart. She put the house in her name.
She said, I own this place. I don't know what you're talking about. I own it.
Take this brew. Take this guy.
So the new Gen Z baddie, the new antidote to the COVID-19 that is cheating in men's life. The antidote, the vaccine, let me say.
Yeah.
I feel like we'll be okay, man. I think things are starting to balance out. I think that women aren't scared to say what they want anymore. Whereas back in the day, it used to be like, let's see as the relationship progresses. Like, let's see what you want. You're more than welcome to.
I think I disagree with you.
Yeah, it's okay too.
What
it's
I disagree okay. with is not necessarily... like what you're saying, that I do agree that, you know...
that things are getting better?
The more modern... No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I also don't agree with that.
That the more modern woman is more vocal.
Yes,
right?
100%.
But it's more like we are like... It's. I feel the response from men is more like, why are you guys being so vocal? All our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers have been dealing with this all this time. Mm. This is what we know. What do you mean you're expecting something different from us?
Yeah.
What do you mean you're going to ask us to behave differently? Mm. What do you mean you're going to leave when someone cheats on you? You're never going to have a man.
Yeah.
Now it's being, there's this thing of there's the independent woman and how the independent woman can never keep a man.
Yeah. Mm.
The independent woman can never submit to a man.
She's too straight.
She can't have a successful marriage. And so now we have a society where people are trying to be vocal, but they're still being shut down. I don't think that we've gotten to the point where I feel like, hey, we're going to be okay. And the reason I feel is where this conversation starts in the first place. I don't think men are taking accountability. Yeah. Mm. And I don't think men are taking ownership for, like, their parts in how society is framed. Mm. And I don't think men are changing their minds. If you guys are sitting as Amachita right now and you guys talk about whether or not all women cheat, what are you guys going to say? Let's be honest. I know you guys have girlfriends.
So the question is, do we think all women cheat?
No, man. I don't.
Like, I think, I don't.
If I had to do a ratio one.
When you guys are sitting,
do two to five. I'd say, for every five men that cheat, one woman cheats.
I'd say women cheat and get away with it. That's what I would say, probably.
My ratio is for every five, one.
But that's a different conversation, right? So that's about women. Now I'm asking. When you guys are talking together about each other, you're saying,
she's saying, when we're talking, like, just as my G, talking about, like, for example, the topic, like, do women cheat?
Do men cheat?
Yes. Oh,
like all men cheat. What do they mean? What do they take from me?
People are like, it happens.
I don't show you what I'm cheating. I must protect you. What are you saying in those conversations?
I won't lie. Like, let's say right now my friend cheats on his partner. I'm gonna be like, oh, dude, this happens. It happens. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm going to be very honest.
Don't tell her.
I'm going to look at him in the eyes and say, oh boy. Just don't do it again. I'm going to say, don't do it again, but it happens. I'm not going to lie to you. Mm. Yeah. I'm not going to say anything else. I'd be a liar if I said, I say no. No, dude, come on. What are you doing? Mm. You can't do that.
Okay, I think most guys were like this, but I do want to say there's some people, and I think I'm one of them. Whenever my friends try to go in the direction, I won't tell them what to do. Because that's a man, right?
You can't.
But what I will do is that I will tell them the effects of cheating. So I will tell them why I do not cheat.
Yes.
So I will say, dude, the reason why I don't do that thing is because of this. Because even some of my boys ask me, like, boy, how come we never see you like you really don't be letting loose like with me outside?
Mm.
Then I'll be like, yo, the reason why is because I won't be able to face my partner because I view my partner like this. And I explain to them why I don't do it. I also
reprimand my friends who are in that sort of lifestyle of like multiple girls and stuff. Because I'll be like, dude, what are you doing?
Yes.
Like, this is not life. This is not sustainable. You know what I mean? But I won't call out his character.
Yeah.
To be like, how evil are you that you can cheat?
What type of man are you? I also don't think we're a good example because now it's kind of like she's saying men are like this. Our answer should low-key be like yes.
No, she heard my answer.
I'm just saying because now I feel like we're low-key defending ourselves and our honor.
Yeah.
And it's like it's not about us
personally.
We made it personal.
No, I was just saying, we did make it personal. But majority of guys, would not pull you out. And I'm talking about strangers. You could meet a guy and meet his girlfriend today at a bra. The girlfriend goes home. The guy kisses someone. And you'd be like, come on,
bro. And besides that, when you guys, you know, women, we talk about this all the time. When a woman is introduced to the friends, you will think that you're the main chick. You are not.
Yeah.
Men introduce side chicks and you guys are friends. Yeah. Hey, guys, it's so nice to meet you.
Even our moms can put us on.
And actually, this is waking up an important conversation about Umakesh. Yeah. Umakesh is not as much of a villain in our eyes.
He isn't a
villain as Jonas.
But actually,
he enabled everything that Jonas did. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that.
He was one of the biggest enablers.
He was a co-villain.
Exactly.
And this is why,
when we're talking about rape culture, etc., like, we're always like, guys, it has less to do with only the person who's committing the rape and a lot to do with everybody else, guys. There's so many people who are involved in this, allowing this behavior.
Yeah.
You watch me, like, when we're at the club and you know that thing of holding people's waists, who are you?
Mm. Or when you're like passing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, right? Yeah. And we don't say anything about that. Mm. You don't say anything if I'm too close. Like, if, you know, you're just like, ugh, you know, keep trying until you get it. Like, it's the culture, right? And we enable one another. Like, this is the culture that we live in.
Can I ask you a question about, like, so I've met a couple of girls, you know, Egoli, man, takes young sweet girls and spits them out, makes them vixens in music videos and whatnot. But I've spoken to a lot of girls and they get to a certain point where they're so numb that they actually don't even mind that their partner is cheating or they just ignore it. It's like, I want to, if you know, like, what do you think it takes for a person to get to that point to be like, you know what, I actually don't care anymore. I just want to love this person. I don't care. Yeah. Basically, Joyce. What do you think makes a person get to the point without kids?
Yeah, but Joyce is
without
hectic.
Kids.
Yeah.
Without kids. Without kids.
Yeah, so let's say the young Gen Z girl in Joburg.
And what advice would you give them to get them out of that? Out of that.
Because it's not nice to hear. I feel like I might go too deep, but I feel like we need to look at the root of everything.
I agree.
And the root of everything is like money and being able to be independent, right?
Sure.
That's why young girls date older guys. That's why older guys go for young girls because they've got power.
Yeah.
So it's a power issue.
Yeah.
So I feel like the best way to take your power is to like
date someone get in your age.
It's to like
get your own money.
Dude, like get an education and then take charge of your life. Because now we're seeing there's some goals that we don't like. For example, Kulile here. Like she went, got an education. She furthered her study. Now she's a doctor. Now she's working. So she doesn't have that monetary reliance on a man.
Mm.
In a situation where someone is committing buffet, she can say, actually, no, I don't deserve this. Do you get what I'm saying?
Mm.
So I think these young girls doing all these different things, it's because everyone's trying to
claim
onto some sort of power or money or some sort of, you know, improvement in lifestyle. So the best solution is to give our young girls and young guys like just more education and more opportunities. Empower them more.
I think that, yes, on one hand, I can agree with you. Mm. On the other hand, I would say like, especially in my context, I know a whole lot of people who've accepted this who are not financially dependent on these men.
Mm.
And I would say that the reason is that number one, like, you fall in love with a man, you want to be chosen by this man. Mm. It's that need to be chosen. It's that need to be loved. It's that need to be seen. It's that need to have a partner. I think this thing of long-term partnerships, marriage, etc., like partnering with someone and being chosen by someone and choosing someone is something that I think people find really important, right? Yeah. And I think that's why people stay, right? And the reason why they end up staying, like, even if it's difficult and stop caring about the cheating anymore.
Mm.
You know, in the beginning of the relationship, when you first cheat, we are shouta, we are snoopa, wins are everything. But then over time, they're just like, oh, I know this is it. Some people will describe that they are in love with the guy and the grief of leaving them feels like it would overwhelm them more than the grief of staying. And so that's why then they stay.
Fear of the unknown.
I actually never saw it like that.
Can I add on to your point? I love your point so much as well.
Yeah, I actually really like it.
Or just like, I never thought
about it like that.
I might take us a bit left, but do you think, because you're saying that every person yearns for that long-term connection with someone.
To be chosen.
Mm. Do you think that stems from how young people have viewed love? Or do you think it comes from an environment where your father never chose you, your mother never really gave you much time, you know, the world is tough onto you, Like, do you think it's just because you want love, or do you think it's because of societal and environmental issues?
I think so. It's actually something I, my latest podcast episode, it was on healing the inner child.
Okay.
And I think inner child wounds present in this way a lot.
Yeah.
And I do think that the things that we experience as children, not being chosen, you know, like, for example, sometimes there's the favorite child in the house.
Yeah.
You know, that thing of not ever being the favorite. Or some people have a middle child experience, right? And never being taken care of as the middle child. It's almost like you're forgotten.
Yeah.
So now when you go out there, like, you are desperate for someone to choose you, to see you, to pick you, right? Because you're never the one who's picked.
Yeah.
Or then you're the oldest child who's always been parentified, right? Yeah. Who's always been made responsible for everybody else, but who can never just breathe, who can never just relax.
Mm.
And I think that those are the things that cause us. Like, I do think that it's a heart issue. I think it's a heart issue. I think we are lacking in the things that we've experienced from our parents, like the needs that we had were not fulfilled as children. We don't heal those wounds. Therapy, I'm so glad in our generation we talk about it more, but we need to have more conversations about it. Like, the conversations aren't anywhere near enough, right? We are not realizing how harmed, how damaged we are from the things that we've dealt with and seen when we were kids. And so now, as adults, our behavior is just bizarre, and it stems from those things, right? When we look at, for example, Ulindan and how she was so excited, like, to be taken into this whole new world by Uchonas.
Wagyu burger.
Wagyu 11-course meal.
Hey.
Ulindani, I think that, first of all, there were layers to what she was experiencing, right? Number one is the socioeconomic aspect, like the financial thing. You're like, oh my gosh, you've booked a whole restaurant for me.
Financial
Restaurant
god,
But then Lindani also has a single mother, right? Lindali never had this experience of a father. Now she has someone who's there for her, like who she can call. Jonas says to her at some point, Hura, I'll always be there for you. You can always call me, I'll always take care of you, right? And so there's now that aspect of, oh my gosh, I didn't have a dad, but like maybe now I got a daddy. And I'm so excited to have that. That thing made me so uncomfortable, but you can see that that's what she's learning, right? Now she was uncomfortable with this having sex with him, right, at some point. But eventually, like, she gave into it. Because he's
still a father figure.
Yes.
That was the issue.
Yes. But she gave into it eventually. Why? Because now I need to please this person so I can keep this person.
Do you think she was uncomfortable to have sex with him, or do you think she was nervous because she was a virgin?
I think it's because this guy was like her father.
I also viewed it as like she was uncomfortable to give him like your shame. But after some time went and they started showing us the layering of everything, I then thought maybe because she was a virgin.
I think her and that other guy were already sexual.
When she was pregnant, then she
It's told very nice because it's like, it goes from like a crush to attraction. Do you get what I'm saying? So she's always just had a crush, but it was like having a crush on like an older brother and older sibling.
She didn't have a crush on him.
No, she didn't.
She did. When she was like, oh, your father in the makeup room.
You missed the link. Yeah. So that was a...
They were already dating.
Yes.
She had just come from the trip or something.
Yes.
But I really think it's because it was like a father figure. Then it's like, okay, now it's not a father figure. It's like what she said, from my dad. My dad to my daddy.
That was the only signal.
Because before it became sexual, right, he found her drinking scotch sake. And it was that father moment. And he says, come to my office, let's drink scotch.
Yeah.
She's thinking bonding time. Like maybe he's going to give me some advice. Oh my gosh, he's inviting me to his office.
Yeah.
So
yes, honored. And it's like, safe. Oh my gosh, it's safe. There.
Yeah, like you're thinking, oh, I'm about to experience some fatherly love. But
Jonas.
It's because we were talking about how in the office, she was initially going to a fatherly figure, right? And she's thinking that this is going to be innocent. This is going to be some advice-giving moment. Yes. This is going to be... Because she'd just gotten shouted at also, right?
Yeah.
Why did they make Lindali clean the house?
Because she threw the party.
Didn't know that.
They made her clean
the house. It was the floor and rising.
Menzi was told to go upstairs. Mpume was supposed to go upstairs. Lindani was supposed to stay here and clean the house. And I said, excuse me.
It's a fluent writing because they should have known that she was the one who hosted the party, basically. But yeah, fluent writing. I think it was a fluent writing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even so.
100%.
You don't think maybe it's layered like.
No. Fluent writing. No, fluent writing.
Maybe.
Also, they also view her as their kid, remember?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Because they've known her since she was
Kids.
Yeah. Okay, maybe. I think they just failed to link. But I mean, we see Lindani's need for approval for father wound. Definitely. Her dramatic cry at the funeral. As much as they have this now complicated sexual relationship, I also just think that Ujonas fulfilled something for her that she didn't have, like a wound that she had as a child that she didn't know she had maybe. Yeah. And
So I have a question to you. I think we've touched on it already. I have a question to you guys. So I think there's two situations, man. There's a situation like there's the new life. So we are the parents who have some trauma and then we've got, we can raise the new generation in a nice way. Mm. What are some things you guys are going to do to raise your kids and protect your kids' environment and your environment as you grow? And then for someone watching at home who is currently living one of those characters' lives, what advice would you give them to help them like improve their situation? Or I don't even know what they could do, but like what advice would you give them just to
what would make us better, basically better parents in this generation? What would we teach?
So like for you guys, like okay, maybe we can start there. Like what are you guys going to install in your kids and in your environment to allow for this to not happen again?
No clue. That's why I'm not a father. That's why I don't have kids. That's why I don't want kids right now, because I don't know how to answer that. I think that I would probably raise my kids exactly the same. Work hard, try give them money, educate them. That's it. But I've realized from what I didn't have that this requires much more of that. I don't know if I'm ready at
this
time.
I think you'd subconsciously do some things and have some changes.
I try to be more affectionate. I think that's an answer.
Because you skipped that, because you went to money and working.
Yeah. Because those are the number one things. A number one thing for me in the household is money and working, like as a man. The less you do both, the more less you're loved in the home. Maybe. Certain homes, not every home. I don't want to say every home.
Yeah, maybe that's something to change, right? And that's something that could be approached differently, because I think learning to view men as
part of the family?
As part of a family, yes, but also like as more of a parent than just a provider, right? It's more of a family person, a human being, as opposed to just separating it into just like 100%. You are our provider. When you come back home, we all go to our rooms because we don't even like
the provider's back.
The provider's back. Provider wants to sit on the couch. Yeah. Provider's not even nice to us.
Because he's the provider. Because he's this provider. Yeah.
Maybe also learning like that you actually do have to be nice to your kids, right? Wow. No, just, imu baba like, hi, right? No, just saying those things to justify things. Apologizing to your kids, right? Teaching them empathy. Teaching them responsibility for actions. Yeah. Like teaching them consequences for actions, like direct consequences for actions. Not to utubashai and not necessarily explain why. So we need to teach kids like how the consequences relate to the things that they've done. Yeah. We need to teach them to be emotional beings. That's what I think I'll change, is I'll teach my kids to be in control of their emotions. Yeah. I'm going to teach them how to manage their emotions, the range of emotions, not just happiness, right? Yeah, because happiness and anger and sadness, I do feel we see those in our homes, but we don't know how to manage our anger. We don't know how to manage our sadness. We don't know how to manage our pain.
Yeah.
Like who... I don't think Ekaya, they taught me how to manage failure, right?
Or anxiety.
I didn't know how to fail. Yeah. I didn't know how to be anxious. I didn't know how to be sad. I didn't know how to be angry. Don't know what to do if I feel betrayed by my friends. Like, I don't know what to do with all these emotions. And so now I grow up into an adult who's just dysfunctional and continues with the dysfunction.
Yeah, sorry.
Everywhere that I go. Like, yeah, so sorry. I think that we change our kids by A, being more functional ourselves, and then teaching them the complexities of the human experience, right? And not limiting it to one thing.
Yeah.
I would say.
I like what you said about like linking punishment to why you're getting punished, because as a black child, sometimes you feel like you're getting the electric chair for breaking a dish. It's unfair.
Where's my lawyer?
Where's my judge? where's my peace? You can't even fight back because you're always, you know, you place as you're always in the wrong as a child. Like you can never be right with your parents.
Mm.
So I liked how you're saying like apologizing is a big one also. When last did I hear my parents say I'm sorry about something?
When last did we have a voice in our home?
I think we can say
we don't like something. Did we have homes like that where we can say,
yo, I don't like this juice. Say I don't like this juice or I don't like this bread.
Okay, not juice. If you don't want to drink it, see what you're going to drink then.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So having preferences also in the household is okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't that create spoiled kids, you don't think? Having preferences? Like catering to kids' preferences?
Maybe you're teaching your kids how to choose themselves.
Hey.
Okay, but
I'm just asking. Do you know what I'm saying?
Maybe
you just
not like, everything they prefer. There's a difference though between a brand. Yeah. Limiting. Yeah, there must be some limits, but I'm just saying, like, I don't even think I mean like being able to choose DJ. I just mean like being able to say, Mom, I didn't like how you spoke to me. Oh, I don't like that you keep taking me to school late. This makes me feel this sort of way. Right?
She wakes you up the next day, 4 a.m., and speaks to you like this the whole time.
Speaks to you like this the whole time. Says, get in the car. I think you don't like how we speak to you at home.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Ish. So we need to change those things. And I think that's what I mean when I say I'll try to give my kids a voice. Because then when they go out, they know that they have a voice, right? They're not just fighting to have a voice everywhere.
Yeah.
They know that they have a voice and they're comfortable with themselves.
I want to speak about, like you said, we were kind of mentioned or like slightly mentioning how like men are perceived as like outside the family there. And then it's like the mother and the kids are the family. And then he's the provider who comes into this ecosystem that the mother creates with the kids, right? Do you think, and again, leaning into this Jonah story, that's what creates work wives and love at work, because you're getting catered for finally as a person, just as a being at work compared to at home, where you're just meant to just produce.
Don't even pass that question to her.
Just asking.
That's just last.
I'm just asking. If you're married
and you've got a family and then you find attraction to someone at work, that's just last. That you're just being lustful.
Yeah.
I think we can't tie it to your family not looking at you as a family man. Your family can't view you as not a father or not someone reliable if you don't behave in that manner.
Yeah, 100%.
We have to take the accountability to the man. So I don't think that causes, it's his lust and his inability to take care of his family.
No, I was going to ask a question. So
yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, speaking of men's mental health and like how we are feeling like they're not seen, etc., in their own homes, I want to wake up the conversation about Menzi. And Menzi's transformation in the show.
Right? This is the son.
So this is the son of the polygamist and how we slowly see him
change from this nice guy to his dad, basically, and another version of his dad. And I just feel like Menzi is the perfect example of why the boy child gets left behind, number one. And I just want to understand, like, what is it about taking accountability for yourself that you feel as men you don't have that makes it easy to blame everything on someone else? Because Menzi's behavior at the end, he's going to blame it on what happened to him, right? Yeah. All the kids experience something like this, right? All of Jonas's kids have been traumatized. But then we see an example, Mpume, getting her life, moving away from the toxicity, deciding that she's not part of it. She's deciding she's not going to be her father, right? Yeah. And then you have Menzi who decides that he's going to replicate the toxicity instead of change.
Yeah.
And I just want to know, like, when you guys view these situations as men, at which point do you feel like accountability is the step to take? Like, do you think that you're taught accountability? Do you think you're taught to take responsibility for your own actions? Ule mentioned something really cool, really important. He's like, no, you know, sometimes boys will have that thing of, I became a cheater because my first girlfriend cheated on me, my first love cheated on me when I was 16. And I'm like, wow.
It's like, what?
Get it together.
It's like, oh, come on. Cheat on you how long ago? Like, you haven't experienced love since.
But like, it's that thing of removing accountability from yourself, and it's always someone else's fault.
I think, with the Menzi chat, I felt like Bumi's character had so many options. You know what I mean? She had options to stay, options to go. Whereas Menzi's character was heavily rooted into his family. He'd visit even his half-sisters who, I mean, he's supposed to hate. So, and even his uncle coming and saying, you know, to him and Sarah, hey, would you guys like to come to the company? They don't go to Mpumi. You know what I mean? He's forced into this role that he can't escape, which is kind of like where that I say the accountability issue comes in. And maybe that's where maybe I'm being a bit too arrogant as a man to be like, nah, it's his fault. He should take accountability. But I also feel like, what was his options?
I feel like I actually like that you've gone there because I think it shows me how much your reflex as a man is not to take accountability. Because Menzi actually did have options. Menzi was taking a gap year, first of all, right? And he was just not doing anything, right? He wasn't doing anything. He didn't have a plan, right? And so that is why his dad said, go and work at my company because you can't just be sitting here doing nothing. Because he didn't have a plan. She should have had a plan. If he wanted to have a plan, he could have said, no, next year I'm going to go be a pilot if I want to be, right? Mpume also was given the option of working in the company. Menzi.
But she was in matric going to university the next year.
Yes.
Sure.
But I mean, she ended up being a psychologist, which was completely different,
yeah,
right? So she didn't have necessarily a place to work in corporate in that space.
Yeah.
So she chose differently, but it's because she had a plan, right? She had a dream. She had an option. Like, she had something she wanted to do.
But she left home. She didn't help at home. Menzi was there at home helping the business, helping the mother raise the kids. That's
but
we literally
see
it. He
was there at home because he Mpumi, wanted to be at
but
home.
But I'm saying Mpumi left. It's like that if everybody leaves, then Joyce is just alone. It's like, so it's like, what is his like responsibility in that moment as a man? As a man, any person would tell him, as a man, you need to stay and step up. Oh, am I losing? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, if you saw, I think the greatest way to say it is like, this belief that like in African culture that like, let's say you have a son,
mm-hmm,
right? And the father of the son passes away. We immediately look at this young man and say, you are now the what? The man of
the house.
We've placed
the house.
Society, I am society, I've placed now
that responsibility on him. Mm.
He doesn't have to, as you say, which I think that's where I'm wrong. He doesn't have to inherit it. He can choose to step away, which is where I agree with you. It's like my reflex came out naturally. But I'm saying, but
I think you're right. I do agree
that
society does place that expectation on men. And I think it would be great if you guys freed yourselves.
Yes.
Like,
that's the thing men don't know how to do. Yes.
Because it actually is a root of a lot of toxicity, a toxic behavior in men, is that they feel this pressure. Yes. And I'm like, where is this pressure coming from?
Yeah, it's like a self-hate.
Who do you think this is coming from? Yeah. Like, where are these expectations coming from? Who put a gun to your head and told you this is what you needed to do?
But I think we need to also be a little bit more sensitive with that one, because earlier you were speaking about like when boys are growing up, you know, they're told to just chill and relax and like, you know, like household chores, like relax, you know, women will do it and then focus on school or whatever, get an education,
whatever,
right? So to even add on to that, like, we also have our fathers and our uncles constantly telling us that we have to become something and we have to become these providers. Like, it's told to us all the time, right?
Since birth.
Like, you have to, like, you cannot fail. You have to lead. You have to become someone. You have to succeed, right? And then whenever you go left in, based on what they've said, they get really angry and upset, like, very, like, emotional, right?
As if you're, like, a failure.
As if you're a failure. Mm. So then that's constantly your whole life being, like, embedded inside of you, right? Mm. And then now Menzi is in a situation where he
can run away. He can. He can go to Freedom's house. We see him and Freedom being best friends. Why doesn't he go to Freedom's
house?
But,
I mean, even if he didn't run, I'm just saying choosing different behavior.
Sorry for disturbing you.
No, it's cool.
Yeah.
I just realized now, why didn't you go to Freedom? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I mean, to Soweto?
Yeah.
From Morningside?
Yeah. It's a bit tricky. And then now you grow up and then we see it happen to Menzi again. Like, every time there's a fight with the family, like, view how Jonas responds to Menzi versus like his daughters and everything.
Yes.
It's a completely different response.
Yeah, I see that.
So all of those small micro actions really like brainwash you and make you think that like, I have to become this thing. Mm. So now every time you do whatever you think is right, you go for the goal that you want or you do the path you want, you're soft and you're loving, you're kind of not viewed as a man and you're kind of not accepted. And then this guy who has succeeded, and it's your father who succeeded and is so powerful, he keeps telling you, do this thing. So now eventually you're like, damn, let me just do the thing they're saying I must do, because I've been hearing from this successful man that this thing is what works. And he is doing whatever he wants and like he's happy. Mm-hmm. I guess he's messing up everything. So now it's hard for you to, like, now his empathy kind of dies. It's hard for him to view the pain of his mom, the pain of his sister. He's thinking like, damn, my pain, and it's so much. How do I remove my pain? I have to behave like that guy.
Mm-hmm. I have to remove my boyhood.
So I agree with you. Like, yes, we need to, like, gents need to genuinely be like, dude, like, remove the pressure. Mm. But we need to see how deep-rooted that pressure is.
Which you just showed us. Because, like, when you said, like, I had that reflex, I was like, no, I didn't have that reflex. I was like, damn, I did just, I didn't even think before speaking. I just said what, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't
defense
even.
Defense was, like, the first thing.
Yeah. And I like how Tato says, like, a brainwash. Because it really is. Like, you feel like, you have to be this. You know, all of us, we like to put our parents on a pedestal. They are like godlike figures in our lives. Yeah. I mean, these are the people that raise us from the moment you can say pa or ma. You understand what I'm saying? So they are godlike figures in your life. So you try to replicate your godlike figure. Like, you try to replicate becoming, which is what a generational curse basically is, because these are your godlike figures, you know? Mm. So the reason I say Menzi, the accountability chat is so tough, is because it's also like he's trying to become the godlike figure to provide, because you can see that's what the provider did.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's
Go ahead. With me, like, because I come from a similar situation where it's like, my dad's not nothing like that, but my dad is very much like, succeed, work hard, push, go. Like, you have to become amazing. And then also, he also has his negative traits. Like, I think everyone does.
Yeah, everybody does.
So now, what helped me unlearn the things that he taught me was my relationships, like me dating specific people. Mm-hmm. So when I dated like girlfriend number one, she would teach me, okay, no, like you actually have to be softer with your little brother. Mm-hmm. Like, because my brother would come visit us and she'd be like, buy him food, check on him, ask him how he's. And I'd be like, what? Why would I be doing all those
him
things?
Nah.
He's a man. Mm-hmm.
Like, he's fine. Mm-hmm. So then now she teaches me like, okay, cool, you have to check on others. Do you get what I'm saying?
So real.
Then girlfriend number four teaches me
so real.
Teaches me something else. That teaches me how to. I remember one time, she's not a girlfriend. I was with this one girl for like a long period of time. A long period of time. And she taught me like the power of like words and these like different things.
Communicating.
And then she was a very chakra like person. Mm. And she would like be like, no, dude, you need to behave like this and do these things. Mm. And I feel like that's what helped me unlearn high-key becoming like a very bad person.
Can I say something?
Right? I'm almost
there. Yeah, go ahead.
High-key becoming a very bad person. So, cool, I unlearned through girlfriends. I don't think there are any other platforms that are as accessible for bros to unlearn those things. Because I hear you, like, guys, let's remove the pressure. Let's stop behaving this way. Let's stop being journalists. Let's stop being these bad people. But it's like, what exists?
Like, we're trying. On the podcast, we're trying.
It's not a matter of, like, saying, hey, dude, like, you know this pressure you're experiencing? You have to stop. And I'm not trying to give them, like, an excuse.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, like, it's actually a very hectic
issue.
I actually don't think that I'm hearing you make an excuse.
Yeah.
I think more of what you're saying is that how men are socialized is multifactorial, right? Yeah. And we are all complicit in this creation or supporting this patriarchal system, right?
Yeah.
But we are all not benefiting from it, right? It's supposed to benefit men.
Yeah.
But men's mental health is suffering because of this patriarchal system that tells them that they have to be everything but human, right? Yeah. That they have to be providers, that they have to do this, that they have to do that, they have to be a man in this way, be a man in that way. Like, even abusing women or even taking advantage of women is part of manliness, right?
Yeah.
Even mistreating women is part of manliness. Yeah. Even lacking empathy is part of manliness. It's part of society's view of what a manly man is.
Yeah.
And so I do think that the layers for these for this are many, right? And I agree that it's not something that we can combat in one sitting.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just like, you should be a different person immediately, like you should remove the weight. Because I think in all our spaces, whether it's at church, whether it's culturally, whether it's in our homes, in our families, I actually do think you're right. There are different structures that keep upholding this idea of what a man is.
Yeah.
And the only way that we change it is by changing it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
By actively being part of the conversations that change perceptions. And I think perception is a big thing. We need to change how men are perceived or how we perceive manhood, right? Yeah. But it can't come from women's voices. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's it needs issue. To come from you guys.
But you know,
that's what
crazier.
The issue is.
But that's the thing, we didn't know. I know now.
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think we're also trying, right?
Yeah,
you know,
like hence,
you know what sucks? What sucks so much is like, dude, this podcast was not birthed for men, but it eventually became for men.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the guys do not want to consume.
No one.
Our audience is 80% female.
Woman.
Saying, I'll tell my partner.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, we place this like, that's what I wanted to say when Tato speaks, it's like this unrealistic, heavy pressure on women to nurture us, to forget all these. Like, bro, they're also going through this thing with us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And because of us, which is a good thing.
Because of us, you know what I mean? And it's like, I'd love to be a man. Well, I'm going to be a man, rather than say that. That's going to say on this podcast, obviously, we need to make the change and be more accountable. But it's like you said, it can't be in one sitting.
Yeah.
It requires someone to go home, go raise a child in 20 years, and that child be the change. And that child having a friend who's friends with Lebo's child who's also be a change. And then, you know what I mean? And that, like, just spreading.
But maybe
everywhere.
Not even the children, right?
Yeah.
I think men now, as you're saying, like, your audience is 80% women.
Yeah.
Women are the people who consume self-help content a whole lot. Women are the women who consume self-improvement content.
Yeah.
Women are constantly trying to evolve
definitely,
and improve
yeah,
themselves.
Definitely.
And the problem with men is that they are not. 100%. Right?
Majority they think of men. That majority they
are
of the men.
Majority is.
Yes, yes.
They think
almost
that they
all
are.
Of them.
Exactly.
That's why I said majority.
They think that they're the prize and yeah. as they are, right? And that they don't need to change. And yeah. that's the issue, right? And the issue is that nothing that we can say as women will make men who are like that take it seriously, right? Men's mental health and accountability for men and change for men is a conversation men need to start having.
Yeah.
Men need to start talking about this.
Yeah.
You guys as men need to start having these conversations. You guys as men need to start having these conversations. You get me? You need to talk about your feelings. Like when you guys are out, like, you know, the what do you call boys' hangouts? I don't know.
Boys' holiday, I don't know.
I don't know, boys, yeah, but no.
Majita Monday.
Majita, all the time. You guys are together, I get yeah. When you are together as Majita, you must, you guys should be starting those conversations and having those conversations and helping each other with the changes, helping each other, like, just to say, hey, bro, like, Nyabonuti, it's hard to carry your family at the moment. It's okay. Like, we're here for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, are you okay? Mentally, like emotionally, are you
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Are you coping? Like you've got three kids right now. Like installments are koloyi, taxes are like this. the economy is like this. Like you get what I mean? And I think you guys need to start having those sorts of conversations, and that's how you're gonna start making these changes.
True, because I've seen us like. So I've seen like myself with some of my friends. Like I will like maybe there will be. I'm forgetting my thoughts, but maybe they're being like not masculine. they have toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
So they're like, oh no, bro, that's gay. Oh no. This. Mm. I'm like, dude. Number one, like you need to be firm in yourself, and you don't have to say comments like no homo or that's gay.
Yeah. Because
you should know yourself and trust yourself and believe in yourself. So I've seen the power in that. I've seen the power in asking a friend like, hey, dude, I saw you a bit off. Are you okay?
Mm.
And it's like the relationship between me and that person completely changes. Because now it's like, okay, cool. They feel safer around me. They can open up. And then now that allows him to now open up with Lebo or Lebo open up with this person. You get me?
Yeah.
So I think I 100% agree with you. I think the more vulnerable guys are around each other, that's like almost the first step.
Yeah.
Because then now when we've got more serious things, we've already opened up the gates of communication.
Exactly.
So I think that's a very powerful.
But like, even the vulnerability and being able to share emotions with each other, right?
Mm.
What it changes about your perception of manlyhood. If you guys are sharing this with each other, men are sharing their feelings with other men.
Mm.
What you are teaching each other is, oh, having emotions is manly.
Yeah.
This is part of manhood. Yeah. Oh, I thought I was, you know, because most of the time, as you're saying, it's with the girlfriends, it's with the mom, it's with the female parties in your life that you're able to be this emotional self, this person who's accountable, this person who reflects, etc. Now, if it's men, from other men, you're getting this sort of feedback or having these sorts of conversations. Now you're like, oh, this is part of being a man too.
Yeah.
Now you change that perception.
Did you say something? I remember, it's like, I'll never forget the story. There was a friend of mine who like had changed his life. So he used to be like very much outside clubbing, like talking to 5, 6, 7, 8 girls at once, right?
Whoa.
And then he stopped. He locked into work. He was going to church, just focused on work and church and just trying to like, you know, basically get to his friend's level and surpass them and just become like a formidable force.
Mm.
And then one day on the group chat or something, someone basically said like, yo, you don't have bitches, basically, right? Like you don't have girls, right? And then I remember the next week, he literally went straight back into that lifestyle to showcase that like, oh. I am like a man and like, I am not what you guys think. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And it's like, sure, if we could be good influences to each other, and imagine if that guy who said you don't have bitches to him was like, yo dude, you've actually been doing so amazing, this is so respectable, I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
imagine those two differences in statements, how they would have shaped his life.
Yeah,
so you get what I'm saying? Because now he was low-key leaving the lustful life, but then now it's like because of what another man has said, because men value what men have to say to each other.
That's
like
the thing.
We even date specific goals because we think our friends find them attractive.
Exactly.
We don't even care about their character.
Some people, yeah.
Yeah, so when I say men, I'm not like
generalizing.
So,
yes, I know.
Julius Malema once said, he was talking to a white person, and I've mentioned this thing many times. She would say white people are racist. Then you would say
whoever gets offended,
So if I say men, you don't feel offended, you can just keep quiet.
No. I thought you also speaking in terms of the friendship groups. I'm like, no, Sam.
But I'm not talking about the friendship group people know from us. Yeah. It's a different friendship group. But yeah.
I think
it's a friendship group that
I like the reflection, and I think what I want to ask from you guys, if we still have time, is to say, okay, so now, can you guys see how your conversations as men, because you value each other's voices so much, your conversations as men also influences how you guys end up treating women, how you end up treating your families. Uchonas was enabled by a whole lot of people, right? But for example, when Umagesh was finally saying, dude, this what you're doing to Joyce, like, dude, like, this is not grand anymore, right? I think we should start thinking about how what you guys say to each other influences how you guys start to treat other people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you guys are going to say to, if you're going to say to Tato, for example, or dude, like, if you're going to be talking about Mbali when she's not there, it will make her feel the sad sort of way, or like, would you like it if someone did it to you, whatever.
Yeah,
now Tata's gonna be like, hey, Lebo said this to me, actually maybe
that thing is wrong,
maybe it's wrong. Maybe I should consider it. But if I said it to Tato, you'd have been like, here we go again. Exactly.
So powerful. So I think we need to, like, young dudes at home, we need to genuinely, like, and I think it takes the brave to do this. We need to genuinely start sparking those conversations and asking our friends, like, how are you? How are you dealing with this thing? And being able to pinpoint and saying what's right and wrong. I think we as friends, like guys to each other, we are the biggest enablers. Like, I've seen, I'm talking about my past, like, let's say in first year, second year, I would see moments where I'd see, like, a guy friend of mine courting a girl, but he's courting her like, he's too close to her, man. And he's doing too much. But then it's like, you know, she'll speak up, or... he wouldn't do anything funny, but it's like the thing that he's doing is the funny thing.
Exactly.
So I imagine if I can say, hey, bro, you know when you speak to a girl, you shouldn't speak to her so closely because it can low-key be uncomfortable for a person. Like, those small little conversations can go such a long way, because I know that that guy would, if I had said the thing, it would have stuck with him in his head forever.
Yeah.
But now he thinks when you court a girl, you have to be up in her face. Do you get what I'm saying?
And everyone allows that.
Everyone allows it, because obviously the woman's also scared, because you're just like literally tower in front of me. And like, I can't defend myself against you. I'm going to have to, you know, submit.
Yeah.
I have a question for both of you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
In terms of, like, when it comes to the expectations that society has of men and the perceptions around manhood, what do you think you feel like you wish you could say, which you will say today, that is too heavy? Like, that actually really... is a heavy expectation or a heavy part of manhood that people don't recognize? And how does it actually affect you? Because sometimes I think we don't understand some of the perceptions and how they affect you guys.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm very happy to think.
Because I think that, like, because I feel like I failed my dad in this regard, but we're not just products of output. Like, we just produce money and just give you money and just live. Like, we as a person, the emotions that you feel, the anger, the intensity of anger that you feel is the anger that I feel. The sadness that you feel as a woman is this, I'm human, just like, there's a misconception that, like, the feelings that a woman feels are not the feelings that a man feels. No, it's like band for band. Like, if you're sad about an issue and I'm sad about an issue, just because I don't cry doesn't mean that, like,
I'm not sad
like that. I feel that issue still, you know what I mean? So yeah, those two things. I'm not a product of output, and I'm human just like you. The feelings that you have, the education that you have, the life that you had. Like, you know, like, for example, fighting. Like, women think that every man can fight, for example. It's a huge misconception. I was never in a karate class. you grow up with a girl, like, her name's Lesedi, and you grow up grade one to now. And she looks at you like, fight for me. Like, what, dude? You never saw me in a karate class. I was in every class you were in. I did English poetry just like you. I'm not that guy, you know? So just having that feeling, I was like, nah, like, let's remove gender. This person's like me.
I'm human.
We bleed the same. We feel the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just really feel like that's something that's heavy.
Yeah. I don't know. My one, I don't know if my answer now would be the same answer I would have if I had a surplus of money.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
If I had, you know what I'm saying?
Let's hear the answer first and then we can dissect it.
I feel maybe because I'm an entrepreneur, but I feel like young, I think can be given guys in the corporate space. Like guys in their 20s, and I'm in the last year of my 20s, guys. But guys in our 20s.
You're almost done.
I'm almost done. Like close, months. Close, like I'm 30 next year. That's insane. Close. But guys in their 20s, like we're trying to figure out life, right? And we come from an environment and a background where we weren't given the tools to really tackle life. Like our parents were fighting apartheid, guys. They didn't have time to teach us about emotions and stuff, right? So now we are immensely crippled when it comes to emotions, when it comes to feelings, when it comes to understanding ourselves, when it comes to even understanding our purpose. We really are crippled. And we are trying to understand these things and be good partners and be good friends. But it's like, we don't have the skill set. Like we honestly do not have the skill set. And we are willing to participate and try and improve the skills and become better. Right? We really want to become better partners, better sons, better everything. But it's like we're going through 20 years of indoctrination, 20 years of being told this is how life is like when it's not anything like that. Mm. So I think, I would tell my part on that thing, like guys, I think we really downplay men's skill set when it comes to like emotions and life and communication and empathy and intentionality. Mm. Like we really don't have those skills. And we want to become better.
You wish that instead of just people expecting you to have these skills, that someone invested time in teaching men.
No. I'm just saying like, To women, please understand that like we're not assholes on purpose. We're not mean on purpose. We don't lack empathy on purpose. It's not who we want to be. Let me just finish. It's not who we. It's not who we would love to have been. It's what we have been taught. But we are more than willing to adapt and learn and unlearn. Have conversations. Try. Become better. Make a mistake. We need you guys, our romantic partners and friends, to be on us and to constantly tell us. But it's like it's genuinely not something that we're doing intentionally. I promise you. Or let me just say me.
Because I don't agree.
Like I genuinely don't think like anybody is trying to, like nobody wants to like empathy on purpose.
But I think it goes to what I was saying, that every man just wants to feel like I'm also human. I make mistakes. Like dude, just how you make mistakes. Like, you know.
I'm not saying that.
The word.
I agree with you there, but that wasn't my point.
So, no, I'm coming to you now. Like the word leader in a relationship is so heavy. It's like you have to actually know what you're doing. And I think that's what you kind of leaning towards, like, dude.
That's not what I was saying.
I don't know.
I'm just trying to explain that. That's not what I was saying.
Oh, okay.
I'm happy to maybe elaborate.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think I understand.
I was just saying, like, okay, let me
niche it. It's okay. Like, we must understand that men have been, obviously, like, their whole lives must be put into context, consideration. And it's like, this person doesn't, it's not that they don't want to be emotionally intelligent, it's that they don't know how to.
Yeah.
That's what you're
saying. I think, it's like, let me try.
But who's supposed to teach you that?
They must teach themselves.
We were never taught. So it's like, that's the thing.
But
so like,
even me, guys, we come from the same homes that you do.
No. I'm not trying to take away anything from your experience and what you are capable of doing. I know that you guys are doing a good job at like being able to obviously teach yourselves, but it's like, I don't think we grew up exactly the same. Like we weren't, like I've never been taught how to even like, who's taught you how to unlearn something? Who's taught you how to
be wrong?
Corrective behavior. And it's like, I'm in a position now where I've been fortunate enough because of experiences to unlearn, become better. That's why I'm even able to be vocal about this. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm talking about like, obviously it's not my current, I don't speak about things that I'm currently fighting.
Yeah.
Things that I've overcome. But my point is like, guys have never even been taught how to unlearn something.
I think I hear what you're saying now. You're saying you would like for people to be a little bit gentler on you as a man in terms of, yes, you can expect these things out of me and I will change and I will do the work.
Yeah.
But offer me a little bit of grace.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about extreme situations. Like I'm not talking
about extreme things. Yeah. No, I agree with you. Like, yes.
Yeah.
But you're just trying to say, Hori, you don't want to feel like, at home, like you don't want to feel hurry, you are constantly writing an exam. You want to kind of feel like I'm allowed to exist like and dough. I can grow as a person.
It's like dough. I want to be.
Yeah, it's like clay. It's like, let's say you complain about my lack of empathy, ne?
Mm.
Like, give me three chances. Do you get what I'm saying? Give me three chances to fix my empathy.
I see.
Like, bring it up once and then bring it up in a way that is very clear how empathy looks like. I think our counterparts always assume that we know how empathy looks like, how intentionality looks like, how choosing somebody but ourselves looks like. For me, based on how I grew up, I never knew how it was like to choose anybody but myself until like I was like 19, 20. Mm-hmm. So the whole time I was like, me. Then I had to be taught. I even thought I was a psychopath at a point. I had to be taught like how to love my brother, how to care for my friends, how to choose people, how to consider someone else.
Well, actually.
Do you get me? So it's like, give that guy 3 chances. Don't give him 10 chances. Give him 3 chances. But in each interaction, be very soft and be very clear on what the thing you want looks like. Like, be very clear. Like, we're literally so dumb and so unskilled when it comes to those things. Because I've heard women say, nah, like, why must I have to, like, explain to you? You should know. I don't know, mamas. I wish I knew. If I knew, I wouldn't be doing anything to make you sad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be doing anything to be a bad brother if I knew that that is the act of being bad.
I think what I'm trying to identify is what emotion are you trying to say that this makes you feel, right? Being put under pressure or
that's a nice question.
Somebody like being harder on you and not gentle. Like, what is the emotion identifying?
It could be 2 things. It could be 1, running away from accountability of the action and then trying to place it in my past or something.
Okay.
But 2, I think maybe it might honestly just be like, whoa, like I'm not doing it on purpose. Like, you make like, it's like, give me some grace. I'm not doing it on purpose. I'm not trying to hurt you. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm not trying to lack empathy.
Do you feel like it makes you feel inadequate in that moment? Does it make you feel like somebody who's unwilling to change?
Mm.
What would you name the emotion that makes you feel?
I'm struggling. It doesn't make me feel inadequate because I feel like in this situation, I understand that I'm trying. I understand myself. I understand that, you know, my skill set.
Yeah.
I think it's just a thing of like, it makes me feel maybe misunderstood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe I feel misunderstood as if the reasoning of my behavior is because of my like for it.
So basically, I like that you said misunderstood. So you want people to be able to see your goodness first sometimes and not to assume that it's coming. Yeah. It's coming from the worst place. I'm a good person.
He wants to be understood.
Mm.
He wants to be like, you're not asking for community.
It could be that. I think men really also struggle with being like, you know, in conversation, we struggle with being labeled.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So it's like maybe this, like, let's say our main labels interactions romantically is like the phone, the Vaseline, and the glass. And then the phone, I give it to him nice all the time. Vaseline, I give it to him nice all the time. But the glass, I always give it to him snacks. So now it's like when you hear something like, oh, dude, you are like this. This is who you are.
Mm.
That, and it comes from the gloss.
It takes that away this.
It makes maybe me feel like it takes away from those things. And it makes me feel like you're characterizing me as
something
that.
Bad.
By this.
By that. And it's like, yo, dude, I don't know how to actually deal with the gloss. You're like, please teach me how to deal with the gloss. I'd love to be able to learn how to deal with the gloss.
Okay, I hear you. I hear that.
Yeah.
And I think that I've experienced somebody who struggled with that as well. And I didn't know as a woman how to frame things. So in my previous marriage, I would say that I do think he probably struggled with that. And I think that is something I got to understand a bit later that like there's certain labels that I would hear him say that he thinks that I think about him. And I'm like, where did you get that from?
Mm. Yeah,
same. And it comes, I think, from how we are communicating things and what we're saying, and kind of as you're saying, Jorge, you guys are assuming labels kind of when we're outlining behavior or instead of just growing from that behavior and changing the behavior, it's almost like you think that we're putting a label on you and you now have to free yourself from the label.
Yes.
You're constantly fighting this label of I'm a bad guy, I'm not a good guy, I'm not good enough, I'm broken, and I'm not a provider, or whatever.
Mm.
Okay.
And
can I add something?
Yeah.
I want to say it's like,
sorry.
Well, because it's like there's a difference between, I think the word is comprehension or comprehension and communicating. So it's like, are you being understood? I can tell you right now, like, oh, I'm angry at you.
Yeah.
It's like, that's me communicating. Do you understand my anger?
Mm.
That's comprehension. So I feel like you're craving comprehension more of like, just because this glass is this, but it's like, have the comprehension to understand the bigger picture.
Yeah, you're good. You're almost there.
I don't know.
Also, so I wanted to add and say, but yeah, that's a really good one. I wanted to also say, like, you see what I just discussed. We can even take it and talk, just make it about the whole labeling thing. Like, okay, cool. When I'm talking about the glass, I'm talking about a behavior. But then let me use an example. Like, I don't like the way you handle this glass.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a behavior. You receive it as a how I'm labeling you as a person.
As a person who doesn't know how to handle glasses.
Or as a person in the entirety.
No, I'm saying the label that you think that I'm putting on you, instead of just the behavior, you're thinking, I'm saying to you,
you are
a person who doesn't know how to handle glasses.
So it's like, for example, I'm saying your behavior, you're bad at holding glasses.
Mm.
You're hearing you're bad.
Yeah, okay.
And you're just bad. So I'm saying, me as a guy, that took me like, I think 3-4 months of constant back and forth to learn.
To learn that when I say those things,
I could be actually attacking somebody's entire character. Instead of trying to speak properly situation. About their behavior.
Yes,
and vice versa. When someone speaks to me, they're talking about a behavior, but my whole character feels attacked.
I see.
So to my example, it's like, imagine it took me and like 3-4, maybe even longer, 5-6 months to understand that concept in its entirety. And it was an ongoing thing in like a relationship of mine.
Yeah.
Do you get what I'm saying? And it's like, because I was so unskilled on that thing. But I would never want to ever attack your character.
I see.
So you get me?
Yeah.
It's not my intention.
Not intention.
So I'm saying, like, yes, guys, we need to improve ourselves and everything, remove the loads off of our shoulders. But like, sometimes guys just absolutely suck at it.
I would say, actually, what I would like to say to you guys, having heard that, I would like to say to men in general, that you need to learn how to separate behaviors or constructive criticism from criticism of your character.
Yeah, 100%.
You need, like, it's because you guys are standing like this, ready to defend your honor, ready to defend your character all the time, that it's really hard to hear constructive criticism, constructive feedback, and put your weapons down.
Yeah.
Relax.
So,
it's okay. Like, it's okay. We're not always attacking you.
It's a
safe space. Yeah. Like, you can grow, you can change.
Yeah.
We're all going to accept you growing and changing. Like, you don't constantly have to be fighting when somebody brings something up. Yes. And that reflex to fight is something you need to learn how to tamp down a little bit. Say, oh, I see, Louis.
Yeah.
We're just learning.
Exactly.
I see, Louis.
True. And you know what's crazy? Someone's going to hear that, it's going to take them 3 months to process that.
And that's okay.
But at least they heard it.
Yeah.
But guys, thank you so much. Thank you for, if you guys stayed until this point, please comment down. Please comment 77. You're so real. And you're really trying to understand the mind of a man and the mind of a woman. So thank you for staying for so long. We will probably see you guys on Wednesday. This is coming out on Friday because we missed this Wednesday, which is today. But this one that we're gonna be posting. We're excited. It's coming out real soon. And we've got a whole lot more conversation like this coming through. I think we should start like a book club or a movie club or something.
Or something like that.
Because us unpacking, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that could be a show on its own.
Yeah,
like,
the movie club, book club, whatever.
Yeah.
And obviously, thank you so much for exhibiting your shine on this podcast of your voice and giving us your opinion and just giving us your time and being seated with us.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. I want to clap because you ate this podcast up for real. For real.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll see you guys next week. Danko. Seated. 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 Seated.